Just as God has given parents dominion over their households, He's also given mankind as a whole dominion over the earth. But dominion in any realm can easily be abused. So today, we want to take a closer look at our responsibilities and our opportunities as parents to train up our kids to be good stewards of the earth. This is License to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to the License to Parent broadcast, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis. I'm Rich Rosel, and our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill. And Trace, we talk about a lot of things here on License to Parent, but I don't think we have ever talked about the importance of teaching our kids to be good stewards of God's creation.
Yeah, and shame on us, Rich, because I think that teaching our kids about caring for God's creation is a great way to teach them about God Himself, not to mention jumpstarting our kids in the direction of thinking outside themselves and toward the needs of others, particularly those who come behind them, certainly their future offspring.
Well, our guest today is both environmentally conscious and future generation conscious. Her name is Karen Whiting, and she's an author and a speaker. She's written more than 15 nonfiction books for teens and families, including the one we'll be discussing today, Nature Girl, A Guide to Caring for God's Creation. Karen also served as a contributing writer for Focus on the Family's Parenting magazine for a couple of years. She writes a time management column for Enrichment magazine. She's been published in numerous Christian publications. And I understand right now she has her hands rather full spending time and sharing life with her 5 children and 8 grandchildren. Mm. So, Karen, welcome. You've got your hands full.
Yes, not as full as when mine were little babies, but my youngest just recently graduated from college.
Wow. That's terrific.
Congratulations. That's terrific. Well, Karen, you are obviously very environmentally conscious. How did you come to be that way?
I grew up in a small dairy farming community in Connecticut, where it was a community of relatives, too, so many of my families had the dairy farms. We had chickens in the backyard, and my grandfather had sheep, so a lot was happening. And I just learned to love creation and love the earth because of that. We all grew vegetables and ate those and canned them. And then when I married, of all things, I married somebody in the Coast Guard who, of course, they're very concerned about clean water, clean air,
sure.
Keeping our seaways in good condition.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about your book, Nature Girl.
Well, Nature Girl is done in a way to excite girls and engage them and their families or their friends to do with them, because it is chock full of not just information. We don't want that to be dry. There are games, there are activities, there are crafts to do. We certainly go into the energy and resources and caring for the earth. We also go into critters, sustainable farming, and what does that mean? National parks and the importance of parks, and even going out to have a party at the park instead of hanging out at the mall.
Mm. Out of curiosity, though, why did you decide to aim this book specifically at girls as opposed to making it Nature Kids or Nature Boy or whatever?
Partly because I've written a number of books for girls, so that made it easier for me to do. I would have done either, but sometimes when you can go a little more specifically, you can really target that audience and engage them a little bit more. So in doing the girls, I'd say 80% of the book you can do with boys or girls. 20% of the book is more, has that girl element to it. It really attracts them, so that if I was doing recycling crafts, I could do jewelry, which boys are not going to be too interested in unless it's the Mother's Day or Christmas gifts.
But do you see boys as less concerned with our environment than girls?
No, I think they're concerned in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly boys are often the ones out there mowing the lawns and getting the jobs doing that. Girls are more attracted to the flowers, and boys are more interested in digging for the worms and going fishing. They both care about the earth, and they'll dig in it, but sometimes for a different reason. And for that reason, I think it's nice when we can target to their own interests more than trying to make it too generic.
I'm curious about this, Karen. In a lot of Christian circles, the label environmentalist has negative connotations. Do you consider yourself an environmentalist?
You know, I prefer to use a term that's more Christian, of being a steward of the earth. That is certainly very much similar to being an environmentalist. But I would say that I'm not going to be left-wing.
Right.
I don't want to be too right-wing either. I think what we have to do is have that balance and see what does God call us to do.
There you go, right there. What exactly, you hear this term going green, what exactly does it mean to go green, and why should parents be emphasizing this with their kids?
Going green to me is to be drawn by what is green outdoors, to want to go out towards that and to want to care about all that God created and be a steward, take part of being his hands and feet to care for all that he created. And that includes the little critters as well as the land, the flowers, the parks, everything that we can leave a little better than we find it.
Well, the mindset of our kids today, they're so digitally addicted. Getting them out to play in the dirt may be a difficult task, but I would say that we need to make them do it. And I can tell you that Shepherd's Hill Academy, our kids, you know, they have to tend a garden and they tend an animal barn. And it's amazing when you jumpstart a kid into something that he's not comfortable with, but it has to do with nature. There's just a natural tendency for him to be interested or her to be interested in it. And am I wrong by saying that we need to, dare I say, use the word force our kids to get out there and actually, you know, maybe interact in some of these things, as opposed to sitting behind a screen or a keyboard all day long?
Right. I think there is a point in discipline as a parent. If you want to be a responsible parent, you should be disciplining your children. And part of that is to limit how much technology they use and open the door to go outside and do more. Plan some staycations or vacations to national parks, to local parks, and plan fun. Do things. You don't have to just garden just to put something out there. You could make a vine-type plant, whether you're using pumpkins or string beans, and have the vines go up on poles that form a teepee and let them play inside of that.
Mm.
You can say, let's make a snack garden where we're going to plant things that you can pick and eat. So we're going to plant baby carrots and cherry tomatoes and berries and things that you like. And when you're hungry, go on outside and grab a snack.
Can you plant a Snickers tree? I'm just curious about that.
You can plant stevia plant, which is sweeter than sugar.
I've heard that, right.
And I did that when my grandchildren were staying with me. My son, when he was in Iraq for 7 months, his wife and children lived here, so I had the stevia, so we put it inside our drink and make an instant kind of a tea by just putting that in, or even sweeten their water that way.
Karen, you're talking like a homeschooler, first of all, and I appreciate that. I don't know if you homeschooled your kids or not, but we did ours, so I'm feeling a kindred spirit there. Would it be safe to say that probably built into most kids there is this innate desire to build a better mousetrap? I ask that for this reason. You're talking about, you know, ask them, what could we do here? What kind of dirt could we do here? I think that sense of discovery, that's pretty much built into all of us, isn't it? And might that be what inspires the kids to jump out and want to do this?
Yes, because if you can inspire their passion, if you can trigger that, then you will get them wanting to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still say the Snickers tree might be a good idea. That would inspire me.
And my grandfather had a lemon tree up in Connecticut.
Not the same thing.
Lemon tree in Connecticut.
He took plastic lemons and he hung them when they got emptied and told people to go pick them a lemon.
Wow. Well, what That's you're great. Describing is this whole nature thing. I mean, this is really the premise of the therapeutic foundations of Shepherd's Hill, getting these kids away from a lot of this stuff. And we know for a fact it works, straightens these kids right out. What are some simple things that parents can do maybe outside the home to be more eco-sensitive, maybe at school or play or at work, during the course of their day they can, you know, inspire their kids to do?
They can start taking a walk with their children every day and take a camera with them to start snapping pictures of what they see in nature that they like,
mm-hmm.
then blowing that up to look at it in detail. They can, even when you're driving along, start having the children notice things of nature. A lot of people play an ABC game of mm-hmm. looking at signs. Why not an ABC game of words of nature they see as they're driving along.
Mm-hmm.
There are simple things to just do if you make nature a little bit more of a priority. They can be thinking, when we go shopping, do we have the bags in the car instead of using the paper bags and plastic bags at the store? Do we have our own cloth bags to reuse?
Mm. Okay.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah.
We need to take a break here because we're coming up on time for that. Our guest today is the author of the book Nature Girl. Her name is Karen Whiting. And Karen, real quickly here at the break, if people want to find this book, is the best place to go to your website, KarenWhiting.com?
Yes, that's a great place. They can go to the page, just click on the little thing for books, and they'll see my books, which also gives them options of many places to buy it, including if they want to get an autographed copy from me.
Excellent. And you also have been involved for years in work with the military. There's a book there called Stories of Faith and Courage from the Home Front, which would be a great read as well. Again, our guest today is Karen Whiting, and we're talking about the book Nature Girl and how to be a godly environmentalist, if you will. The program is Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry, and we'll be back with more conversation right after this. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. You are listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential treatment program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. If you'd like to find out more about Shepherd's Hill and how you can get help for your family, please visit us online at LicensedToParent.org, and you can click on the link for Shepherd's Hill Academy. And Trace, our guest today is a lady who has written a book called Nature Girl, and it's also confession time. So our guest Karen Whiting is going to hear you tell all the ways that you messed up in environmental terms as a youth.
Oh, but well, I'm just old. I mean, and when, you know, back in the day, I remember as a kid, my family throwing, I mean, all kinds of stuff out the car window, and we just thought nothing of it. And it took an incredible shift in our mindset to quit doing this. Today, I wouldn't think of throwing a, you know, gum wrapper out the window, but to divvy up my garbage in categories is still a problem for me, like aluminum, glass, plastic, all that stuff. Karen, what's wrong with me? Does this make me not environmentally friendly because I feel like the sanitation department should be responsible for this?
Trace will now lie down on the couch and let you do therapy.
Well, the great thing is you have done the first step, you know, of any recovering addiction.
My name is Trace, and I'm a recovering.
You had a problem, and of course that brings you to starting to do other things. Where you have trouble sorting things, If you've got children, they can certainly help you. But one of the best things, of course, is to always make a pledge of what you will do, to start looking to the future of what's going to change. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the things in the book is about making a pledge and having groups of people make a pledge, because we have found, and studies have found, that children who make a pledge, say, to the environment, even to having their parents not idle the car while they're waiting to pick them up from events, is more likely to be followed through than any other idea or concept of way to follow something through.
Yeah, good steward of your money, too.
Karen, one of the things that we've done in our family, our kids have recognized, at least where we live, that you can take, let's say, aluminum cans, aluminum pie pans, etc., and you can turn those in for cash, and that is a great incentive. Is it wrong to let money be one of the motivators in taking on the charge to separate out the aluminum, for example?
I know. God tells us the worker is worthy of his wages. And I firmly believe teaching children to work hard and earn something is not bad. I have a cousin that got through Yale by picking up cans.
Wow.
Why? Yeah, wow is right.
That's a lot of cans.
Yes, he did it along the Virginia Beach.
Wow, that's terrific.
For all those years that he was in school with his mother, and it's been a long time since he graduated, but that's what paid for his education.
Well, what are the repercussions of not going green? I mean, I remember in the 60s when you could hardly see across the street. I grew up as a kid in northwest Indiana where all the steel mills are at, and cars, everyone had a work car. We called it a mill car, and it had an inch thick of coke dust on every hood. And it seems like when I go back to that area now, there's no more dead fish on the beaches of Lake Michigan, and you can see across the street. I mean, is it possible we can go back to that?
Well, that kind of shows you it's going to cost you in health. It's going to cost you in money because you're going to waste electricity in your own house. You're going to waste water if you're not conscious of what you are doing. It's going to cost our witness, because Romans 1:20 reminds us that nature itself is a witness to God's very existence.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we don't keep nature looking beautiful, we are detracting from the witness of God to the world.
Yeah. Talk also about some of the other biblical admonitions for being a good steward of the earth, because I know that we, in Genesis, we were told to subdue it, but flesh that out for us. What does the Bible say specifically about this?
Well, the Bible, of course, in Genesis does tell us that we have dominion over the earth. And there's another verse in the Bible, in, I think it's one of the Psalms, which reminds us that we are to be helpers with God in taking care of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We also can look at the wisest man ever, Solomon, and see that one of the things he did out of his wisdom was he built parks. He established gardens, that he knew that planting something was going to add to the earth, add to our health. And we certainly should follow the example of wisdom that God has given us.
Absolutely.
Now, he was also the wealthiest. Did he separate out aluminum cans and get the cash for that?
You know, he was in the time frame when people were really using everything. Killed an animal, even your Native Americans in early days, they used every part of that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true.
He kept an accounting of what he did. If you see what happened with the building of the palace and all, it accounts how many logs and everything else were used to build that.
They still do that in Georgia, by the way. Yeah, that's why you see cars on blocks in every neighborhood. They're using the parts off those cars. How is it that our society can organically change its attitudes on things like recycling, going smoke-free, or going green, yet we can't seem to get jump-started in the direction of going sober, or going temperate, or going godly? What's it going to take to get the momentum in our culture shifted towards some of these type of things?
We actually have come a long way, and we see businesses doing that. Some of that is done by tax incentives, of course, and some of it is done because of people's passion that they have. Some of it is done with youth groups, or school groups, or homeschool groups that decide to do things. Some of it happens because you can inspire your own children. One person at a time is what we want to start with, and let them understand what has happened that has already helped people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I have is Hope for Endangered Animal Quiz that talks about how conservation of habitats and outlawing certain types of hunting – actually saved the grizzly bear from and took them off the endangered animal list. Hmm. That foxes being removed from the habitats happened to have helped the Aleutian Canada goose, and different things that people have done to help, and the difference that that has already made. Some of those things are what motivates people. When I was a child, we did not have the recycling different bins that you could do that we have now.
Right.
So look at the difference that's already made. That tends to be a standard for most homes across America.
Right, right. Well, I quoted her a few weeks ago. I'm going to quote her again. Anne Frank, author of The Diary of a Young Girl, wrote, "The best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or unhappy is to go outside somewhere where they can be quiet, alone with the heavens, nature, and God. Because only then does one feel that all is as it should be and that God wishes to see people happy amidst the simple beauty of nature. I firmly believe that nature brings solace in all troubles." Again, that was written by a 13-year-old girl. Why is nature so healing?
Nature is God's own message to us. Mm. Nature is always growing, so there's hope from that. Yes, there's dying. We have the autumn, but even with the autumn, we have to see that there's the promise of the fecundity of spring that we know because a seed is dying, it can be planted and bring something back.
That's good.
And that cycle of life is what brings us hope.
No, that's very, very good. The title of your book is Nature Girl. Doesn't nature require or imply a system? And doesn't a system require a design? And doesn't a design require a designer? The bottom line is, how can the term nature even exist without God in the equation?
You know, that is so absolutely right. And that's why right at the beginning, we see, "And God said, let there be." Mm-hmm. And we had plants and vegetation of all type and creatures all type come because God said that, and God created all of that. So that is certainly something very important to know about. And, you know, I think it's so true that nature is, you know, it's from God. It's a gift to us. He gave us this world to enjoy, and at the same time, he gave us a world that also reflected his goodness and his power and abilities.
You know, without God in the equation, only random chance exists, really, negating any order to anything. Therefore, without God in the equation, either nature doesn't exist, nothing is natural, or anything or everything is natural, simply because it's allowed, including murder or rape. Where am I going wrong here? I mean, doesn't this kind of defy everyone's belief in the survival of the fittest, Darwinian thought? If you're an environmentalist, how can you be an environmentalist and a proponent of evolution at the same time?
Those are some puzzling thoughts, and those are conundrums that people do wonder about, because it's true that if God wants us to be pro-life, and yet you have people who want to get rid of all humans, say, because they think it should go back to nature in that way and forget that God also created us and that who's there to help care for the animals who are sick if we are not there in many ways. And I think those are dialogues that people need to have. One of the things that my daughter wrote this book with me, and one of the things we did was talk about the controversies and the contradictions and not give pat answers to girls, but instead give them ways to think about exploring the answers and debating them so that they can converse with people who do not agree with them and are not standing on the same side with them in creation. And as parents, we should not be spoon-feeding our children all the answers. We should be motivating them to think, motivating them to explore and find the answers so that they can give and hold educated conversations with people to persuade them and to see the perspective that God has.
Do you feel that teaching our kids about God is a prerequisite before we can teach them about the importance of going green?
I do, because unless you understand that God created everything and that everything he created reflects his existence, then I don't think they have the true reason of why the earth matters.
Well, Just a few seconds left here, but I have to ask you this. What motivates the non-believing family or the non-believer to care for the planet? I mean, if it's just a random chance thing. And there are a lot of, you know, what we would call tree huggers, I guess, who have no use for God, but seem to have that affinity for protecting the Earth. Where do they start from?
They're striving sometimes for a legacy of what can they leave behind. Mm. And so they're trying to leave a legacy for their children or grandchildren that they can live because they think there's nothing beyond this. So we have to care for what there is because there's nothing else to care for. I don't think that's as good of a motivator, and it certainly to me is a false premise, as to understand this is what God gave us. It's mm-hmm. a gift, and he wants us to care for it. And in walking in nature, that is one way to experience the existence of God and to draw close to him.
That's probably that Romans 1 struggle that we all have. That's maybe their way to get as close as they can to a creator without admitting there's a creator. Because when they admit there's a creator, then they have to submit to his authority or else shake their fist in his face. We're out of time, but what final comments would you offer your listeners that would encourage them to glorify God and encourage their kids to glorify God by how they care for the earth?
As a parent, the best thing you can do is always to be a good example to your children. Make sure you're not into too much technology and go outdoors with your children. You know what they really, really want? They want to belong to their family. They want to feel loved and affirmed. And if you do that outdoors, they will love the outdoors that much more.
That is really the truth.
Our guest today is Karen Whiting, author of the books Nature Girl, and as I mentioned earlier, Stories of Faith and Courage from the Home Front. Karen, it has been a pleasure to have you broach the subject of our caring for God's earth, and I wish you a very green future on this. Thanks so much for being on. And as I mentioned also at the start, you are also do a bit of writing about time management and whatnot, and we'd like to have you back on later to delve into that topic.
Well, that's a good one, because parents get busy, and yet they need to take time to realize we only have 18 summers with our children.
Yep.
We only have a limited number of years with them.
Absolutely. Well, again, our guest is Karen Whiting, author of the book Nature Girl. That's the book we discussed today. You can find out more about that book and her many other resources at karenwhiting.com. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program located just north of Atlanta. We're helping teens in crisis. If you'd like to find out more, please visit us online at licensedtoparent.org and then click on the link to Shepherd's Hill Academy. And finally, please remember that our ministry to teens and to their parents costs a lot of money. And during these summer months in particular, money is particularly tight. If you could help us defray the cost of providing care through a tax-deductible donation of any size, we would be very grateful. And as our way of saying thanks for any donations received before the end of July, we'd like to send you a free copy of the DVD Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, which addresses the problems that families are facing from digital media overload. Again, that DVD is yours free with your gift in any amount to licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, hoping you'll be back with us again next time to again renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.